have to hold it clear out here. It's pretty loud. Greetings. I will begin by apologizing. I don't speak Portuguese, so you're going to have to listen to me in English. Actually, I think we have translators, don't we? Okay. My name is Alan Clark. I am employed by SUSE, which is a German company. But I spend all of my time working with open source and in the industry. And I have several hats that I wear. The one that we care about today is I'm affiliated with the OpenStack project and the OpenStack Foundation. I am the chairman of the board for the OpenStack Foundation. I'm also on the board of directors for the Linux Foundation, so I've been heavily involved with Linux for more years than I have gray hair. But I've been involved with open source. I was the chair for the OpenSUSE project, been involved with GNOME, KDE, and many other open source projects. So it's a great pleasure to be here with you today. This is my first time to Porto Alegre. I've been to Brazil several times, but this is my first time to this area, so I'm excited to be here. So I'd like to start talking about why cloud today. And, you know, this is a time where I am very excited about the software industry. It used to be that we would come to these meetings and everybody would have their heads down in the laptop, right? Everybody had a laptop. But nowadays, we see very few laptops, but we see lots of smart devices. And the reason that excites me is we're not all carrying the same device. They're all different, right? We're buying them from different vendors. They have different flavors of operating systems. And because of the services they provide, we're carrying different services, okay? Different applications. And those applications are focused on us as individuals, okay? We get personalized service today. And that's very exciting. The other thing that I find very exciting is the change in the world around us. And we've seen some examples of that today at the conference here. You've heard the term Internet of Things, right? And what they're talking about is all the new devices and information that is coming accessible to us. You know, we have sensors all over the world now, right? We can get the instant the temperature. I know the temperature instantly from my hometown, even though I'm sitting here in the middle of Brazil. Our cars are smart. Our phones are smart. Our televisions are smart, right? They're all gathering data information for us, for our use. And the beauty is it's being personalized, okay? So it's a very exciting time. But at the same time, there's pressures on the businesses and organizations to provide those personalized services to us. Okay, I read a report from Forrester where they're saying that the enterprise IT environments spend 70% of their budget just trying to maintain the services they have today. Okay? Yet as users, we're demanding more, right? We want more. We want it personalized. I want it for me. I want it my way, right, for me. And that's putting a lot of demands on our IT staff that are running these businesses. They're also becoming more responsible for the line of businesses, right? The businesses themselves are looking at IT departments saying, you've got to produce. And yet they're constrained with the resources they have. Well, it turns out one of the best answers for these IT departments today is cloud. So people will argue that, well, cloud's not new. The mainframe guys will argue that the idea of cloud has been around for years and years and years, right? We've seen it with different names, grid computing and so forth. But the time is right for cloud, okay? And that's why we're seeing this huge influx and interest in cloud today. And so that's one of the reasons we got excited about cloud computing a couple of years ago as part of SUSE. And in particular, we were very interested in OpenStack. And so I want to talk to you about why OpenStack. Okay. So, and introduce OpenStack to you. So OpenStack is the open source cloud software project. Okay. The mission of OpenStack is to create a ubiquitous cloud computing environment for both private, hybrid, and public clouds. It's a very new project, relatively speaking. It's about 3 years old. The foundation for the project was launched last September. Okay, so the project was initially started from NASA and Rackspace. And I'm sure most of you know the history of that. But it started out just a very small project, very few engineers. And within that time, in the last 3 years, we've grown to have over 9,000 members, people participating in the project. We launched the project last September, as I mentioned, We launched the foundation last September. And when we did that, we launched it with about 120 organizations saying they would support it. Okay? We're now up to over 190. So from September to July, we've had about 70 more companies and organizations join the foundation. Now, I have to give credit to Rackspace, because they recognized early on that for the project to succeed, they needed to turn over rights and information to this nonprofit foundation. So the project, when we got together and discussed the principles of the foundation, we decided there were three main principles that were extremely important to the success of OpenStack. And the first one is that the project is open source. It's not open core, it's not partially open, it is open source. Okay, so everything within OpenStack is open source. And it's governed by the Apache license, which is a very liberal free license. Okay, the documentation is being now governed by the Creative Commons license, which is extremely open and free license. The second principle is that the community, development is open. Okay, so all the contributions, all the work groups, all the projects within OpenStack are open. All the meetings are open. There's no hidden meetings, right? Creating an agenda for the projects within OpenStack. They're all done in the open. They're all done on IRC, mailing lists, and wikis. The third principle is that the community is open. Anybody can join. Okay? We currently have about 800 and some odd developers that are contributing patches to OpenStack. Okay? So you think about 9,000 members, 800 engineers writing code. What are these other people doing? Why are they joining? Well, if you look at it, at the different areas, we have users, right? We have documentation, we have test, we even have lawyers, right? And we have marketeers, I'll call them. All these people with different talents are joining the OpenStack project and participating with their talents, right? It doesn't mean that we only accept engineers, but we have people with their talent and their expertise coming to join and participate. And it's extremely important that it's open. So that's our third project principle. Because of those principles, OpenStack, as I've mentioned, is growing and doing extremely well. And the other part of this is because of those principles and the foundation, the way the foundation is set up in the bylaws, it's not controlled by any single company. Okay? And that's where I say kudos, give Rackspace credit, is they have the foresight to turn the trademarks and all that information over to this nonprofit foundation. And so there's no single company that's in control. The control is shared by all those that are participating. And the importance of that is that the project will live on for a long time. Okay. All right. So let's when we talk about OpenStack, we need to give a little basis here about what is cloud computing. Because there's many projects within OpenStack. We're up to 9 projects that are integrated. There's additional projects that are coming out. So we're on to our 7th release now. And on to our 8th release, we've released 7 times. The 7th release included 2 additional packages, bringing us up to a total of 9. And I expect we'll have 1 or 2 more by fall when we do our 8th release. So what are some of the components of OpenStack? Okay. So first off, we have to have our computing services, right? This is the work engine. This is the workhorse. When you want to create a service, maybe I want a web service, or I want to launch a data service or of some sorts, this is the workhorse that does that work, that performs that effort for us. So it does our computing, okay? Second area is networking. A lot of times when you're creating clouds, you want to be able to isolate yourself within the network. We find that particularly with large deployments of cloud, it's very common that you'll have cloud centers that are geographically dispersed across the world, and yet you want them to be isolated networking-wise, and so you have to have a networking piece. Storage. Storage is very important, both for storing images, the images that you're deploying with the compute module, but also storage for databases, for hierarchical and block storage. Other components include the ability to launch the service, right, and monitor it. So you need a dashboard type service. You need your metering and monitoring services. It's also very important that you have identity and security. So there's a component within OpenStack that handles making sure you have the right access to be able to launch these services or kill them or whatever type management you need. Plus the ability to control which resources get used and how much. So there's a lot of components within OpenStack itself. Some of the new ones that are being worked on, load balancing, being able to make sure that the load is distributed across your compute modules. Very interested in energy conservation, so there's being work done there. A lot of work being up in the orchestration layers with metering and monitoring. So one of the first things we did when we launched the foundation is we created a user group. And it's led up by Tim Bell from CERN, the Hadron Collider folks. And Tim put together a survey because we wanted to understand who and where OpenStack is being used. So we did a survey, and I thought it was very interesting because you hear a lot about public clouds, right? But it was very interesting to find out that there's actually a lot of private clouds out there that are running OpenStack. And hybrids definitely up and coming. So we looked at some of these users and started asking questions of why. Why did they pick OpenStack? And we could spend all afternoon talking about why, but I want to give you a couple examples. So we're finding people are using it everywhere from government to business to research, for development, small businesses, financial institutions. It's being used everywhere. Okay, but let's talk about a couple examples. Mercado Libre would be a good one. They're using OpenStack to do their research and development. Okay, so they created a private internal network using OpenStack. They needed the ability for the developers to create instances on the fly, right, for development and test. They needed that capability. But they also needed to be able to put quotas on them, because we all know how engineers will take up all the space they can get. We love memory, don't we? We just chew it up. So they had to control that. So they needed the flexibility to grow and shrink as with the resources that were needed, but they needed to be able to control that. Another example, e-commerce. Best Buy, I don't believe they're here in Brazil, but they're like the number 11th e-commerce site that has, they rank them about number 11 for a retailer that does both e-commerce and has a brick and mortar store. He gave an interesting example. In North America, we have a holiday called Thanksgiving, okay, which kicks off the Christmas season. And the effect is, retailers love Thanksgiving because that kicks off the shopping season for Christmas, okay? And he showed us a graph, and on the graph, it was pretty flat, right? Looked like the guy was, if it was your heart rate, you would be in trouble because it was pretty flat. Until you hit Thanksgiving Day, and then all of a sudden, poof, this huge spike. 7 times the traffic on Thanksgiving Day for their web service. 7 times the traffic, okay? Turns out that's the day all the retailers in North America make all their money, okay? So they needed the agility, the flexibility. You can't just say, we can't handle that, cut off all their potential customers, right? They need the ability to handle that 7 times the traffic on Thanksgiving Day. So they're using OpenStack to give them that agility to grow on those holidays where they're needed. I mentioned CERN, the Hadron Collider, you know, the guys that are creating black holes over there in Switzerland for us, you know, finding the God particle, the Higgs boson particle. Turns out they have an interesting setup. I talked to Tim several months ago. When they shoot that collider, think of it as a giant microscope, right? When they shoot that collider, they have tons of sensors gathering data. Turns out they gather about a petabyte of data per second. Okay, now they throw a lot of that away, but they have to computationally chew on that, okay? And he gets it down to about 400 megabytes per second of data. Now, he's got to turn around and share that data with over 10,000 researchers around the world, okay? So they chose OpenStack because, one, they needed, it's a private network, right? But he had to be able to distribute that data, and first he had to be able to computationally crunch it. Second, he had to be able to share that data around the world to all these research facilities. So his was the big reason he chose OpenStack was storage. So I could keep going on about examples, but that kind of gives you an idea of why people have chosen OpenStack. So, as I mentioned, the latest release is Grizzly. It was completed in April. We try to do a release every 6 months, and they're going in alphabetical order. So we started with Austin and gone down through the alphabet to G for Grizzly. This fall is Havana, starts with an H. And so Grizzly was released in April. It's the 7th release from OpenStack. And it features over 300 different blueprints. Actually, I've got a typo there, 230 blueprints. And if you think of blueprints, think of them as features, major features, okay? So that kind of gives you an idea of the scope of effort that's going into this project. Now, it's interesting, I also put up there that we had over 7,000 patches included, and I had a guy come up to me and said, after I mentioned that, and he said, your software must really be buggy. I went, well, okay. Got to remember, not everybody understands open source. So I changed that word and said contributions. And he went, oh, contributions. Okay, that sounds better than patches. So, but that's a lot of work. There's a lot of effort going on with that release. Now, our conferences. So we line up the summits with the release, right? And the organization is such that we have a board of directors which governs the project. But we were smart enough to say the business guys shouldn't be dictating the technology. That's just not a good idea. It's great to have us around to manage the money, you know, and make sure we've got all the resources there and the legalese and all that around it. But we need the technical guys to make to control the project itself. So the project is run by a technical committee, and the technical committee is made up of the leads of each of the projects. So the technical committee and the project leads are elected by those that contribute code to the project. Okay? So it's a meritocracy, but it's very open. Everybody's elected, and part of the process here, getting ready for our summits, is the elections for each of those projects. And so we go through an election, get their project leads. Now it turns out a lot of times the same folks are reelected, but with Grizzly, we actually had a couple different projects with new leadership. So the project leaders get together with those that are involved in the project, and right before the summit and during the summit, we focus hard on developing those blueprints that we're going to work on for the next 6 months, for the next release. So the summits are less about being a conference and more about creating design for the next release. Okay? So it's very much organized around figuring out what the right feature set is, what's the right design, and the priority of the features that we're going to work on. So we had one in April. Now up to this point, all of the conferences, all of the summits have been in North America. Turns out that outside of North America, the most contributors are coming out of Asia. So, and then third is coming out of Europe. So this fall, the summit for the first time will be held in Hong Kong. And then next year, we're looking to hold it in Europe so that we can get more participation from around the world. And I should mention that this is very much a worldwide project. If you look at our board of directors, we have directors from Europe. We've got one from, we've got Tim from CERN, so out of Switzerland. We've got one out of Ireland, China, Australia, several from North America. So we're pretty much worldwide. Makes it great for trying to find a meeting time, right? I mean, you got somebody from every time zone. But it means we're doing really well in getting people to participate from around the world. And yes, I've already heard the request. Would love to hold the OpenStack Summit here in Brazil. I'll feed that back. But I have to tell you that they base it on where the contributions are coming from. So contribute, and then we can get it here to Brazil. So what are some of the new things that came out in Grizzly? There's a whole list. Like I said, there's 230 big features, but so I won't go through them. But one that I'm really interested in is the feature where you can create compute cells. So you can take these compute nodes and associate them together into a cell. Okay, that to me is going to be very exciting, the potential that brings. But there's all kinds of features. So we have a slide that is missing here. So what I wanted to do is transition and talk about, in fact, that's very interesting. My slide advanced here, but it didn't advance up there. So we'll have to fix that. So OpenStack comes out about every 6 months. In fact, I can fix it. We'll just do this. So OpenStack comes out with a release about every 6 months. And the beauty of this is it's a very rapid pace. Okay? So every 6 months you can expect that we'll have a new release. for a business, this can be very hard to consume, right? Several summits ago, Rackspace, the gentleman from their IT department, talked about how they're instantly consuming the releases. But I've noticed even he's now going, it's getting kind of tough because it's such a rapid, right? 200 features every release, and your business is depending on this cloud. That's a lot to digest. The second part is with open source software, we're moving so rapidly that if I come back and I say I'm using Grizzly a year from now, and I send in an email to the, you know, post an email to the development list and say, well, I'm on Grizzly and I'm seeing this problem, the first response you're going to see back is, well, you know, update yourself to Havana and see if the problem still exists, and then we'll talk about it. And as a business, you're going, well, I can't do that because I need a stable environment. So my point being is, for developers, for dev and test, a six-month cycle is great, but for a business, that can be kind of challenging. And so this is where you'll see other open source projects and businesses step in. Okay, so when we release Grizzly, we'll see if we can get to the right slide here now. My slide is missing. I had a slide here. Oh, it's still not coming up. There we go. So I don't expect you to read this, be able to read this slide. At least I can't because the print's too small. But I wanted to get the idea. Basically, on the left-hand side, what it is saying, this is the OpenSUSE project. It's the OpenSUSE open source project for Linux. And on the left-hand side, it basically says, go get the source code from Grizzly. And then you'll find all these blocks here are the steps that the OpenSUSE project goes through. They do additional testing on the hardware platforms that they're interested in. They combine it with other open source projects, and then OpenSUSE itself will produce an image. Okay. Likewise, SUSE does the same thing. So when Grizzly gets released, what you're finding is all these 190 companies and organizations will pick up Grizzly, they do additional testing, and combination of certification on their platforms and so forth. So Grizzly is just the beginning. You know, when OpenStack makes a release, that's not the end, it's just the beginning of something that goes on and on and on. And I want to talk to you a little bit more in depth about what SUSE does with it, just to give you an example of what happens to this. So we still have the same problem. But the slides don't seem to be advancing. And it went away altogether. Okay. Let's try this one more time. You'd think I was doing a demo. All right, we'll have to forget the slides. So as an example, a company like SUSE will pick up the release Grizzly, okay? And they will do additional testing and hardening. And as they perform their testing on it, they contribute those patches back, okay? So everything goes back to the community, and that's one of the reasons open source software gets better so quickly is you have all of those companies that are in organizations that continue to do testing and then contribute those back. So part of the testing it does is with its partners. Okay, so SUSE has, I don't even know how many partners they have, but they have tons of partners. Part of those partners are hardware. Okay. The testing that OpenStack does is actually pretty limited when it comes to hardware. But SUSE has relationships with IBM, HP, Dell. I could name hardware names all day long, NetApp, so forth. And those relationships, and they have staff dedicated to testing this software on their hardware. Okay, so it gets hardware tested and certified against hardware. It also has partnerships and relationships with ISVs, so applications. Okay, so the same thing. You have staff dedicated to testing OpenStack against software applications. Okay, so you have very specific testing that way. Third area of testing, they do certification for government standards, right? If you want to sell into certain, pick your government, they usually have a standard that you have to test against and certify against. So they do that certification. That takes a lot of time and effort and money. When they do that, they find issues. All of that goes back in to the open source projects. So it's that type of testing and hardening that goes on. And then the other thing that they do is add in additional open source software. So when you get something from a distro like SUSE, it'll include additional open source software such as Chef and Crowbar, okay, or Ceph Rados. And those types of packages and projects make it easier to install, right, giving you a good experience, both with installation, maintenance, storage. They add in additional software for management, for image creation, and so forth. So all that additional testing, all those other packages that get included, give you a more easily consumable product. Okay, still open source, but it's been tested and hardened. Second thing they do is they provide maintenance and support for the long term. Okay, it's not unheard of for SUSE customers to be using releases from 10 to 15 years ago. Okay, well, in open source world, that's, you know, the dinosaur age, and we've long moved on. But what these companies do, like SUSE, is provide a customer that support. So SUSE's keeping up with the OpenStack releases, yet they're providing those patches and updates to customers that are sitting on software that we would call ancient. Now, the second thing that they provide is expertise in open source. And oh, look, we can see my charts from. Let's see if it'll come back. There we go. Now it decided to come back. Magic. Yeah. Okay, so the other thing they provide is years and years of expertise. So SUSE, for example, has been doing open source for 20 years. Okay, so OpenStack may be a new project that's only a couple years old, but they've been involved with Linux for over 20 years. And so they bring that knowledge and expertise of how to work in an open source community into these new projects. And they are able to provide good leadership and support. Now, as I mentioned, one of the things I want to talk about here before we close is some of the tools that they also provide with it. And one of those is called SUSE Studio. Now, when we talk about OpenStack, right, one of the things you're doing with that compute engine is you're deploying images. And you've got to somehow create those images, right? So you're creating a virtual machine image, and the compute module deploys, right? Well, you've got to somehow create that image. So how do you do that? Well, it turns out one of the easiest ways that I've ever found is using this tool called SUSE Studio. It's a free tool. Go out there, susestudio.com. Check it out. What it allows you to do is create this package, this image, by taking the packages that you need. So you start with enough operating system. We call it juice. But just the amount of operating system you need. So rather than taking a DVD image and starting from there and throwing things away, right, you start from the opposite and just get the packages, the pieces of the operating system that you need. So it's kind of a reverse of the model. So you take the base operating system, add in the packages that you need, so your software. So let's say you're an ISV. You add in the software from your software as a service that you're trying to deploy. You add in the Linux packages that you need. Maybe you want an SSH, maybe you want a LAMP stack, and so forth. You add in your configuration, okay? You verify all this. Now, this is a point-and-click tool, so I can do all of this in 20 minutes or less. It's very simple. So you verify this, and then click a button and say, I want to deploy. Now, one of the things I didn't mention that I should step back and mention is SUSE is their cloud strategy is to help businesses deal with both public, hybrid, and private cloud environments. And we pride ourselves on our partnerships. So we've been criticized a little bit for some of those in the past, but let me mention a few of those. So we partnership with Microsoft. Okay, we recognize that businesses today are in a heterogeneous environment. Okay, they're going to use the best tools to accomplish their business objectives. That means they're going to have mixed environments. They're going to have Windows, they're going to have Linux, they're going to have all kinds of stuff. Okay, so we partnered with Microsoft. They've got their Windows Azure environment now. We partner with VMware. VMware is huge in cloud, right? In fact, VMware is actually a member of OpenStack, which some people find very surprising. So we partner with VMware. We partner with Amazon. Amazon's big into public clouds, right? So, and IBM, HP, and others, as I've mentioned before. So part of this tool here is when you're creating these images, you also get to say, here's where I want to deploy it, okay? I want to create an image for KVM. I want to create an image that's targeting Microsoft's environment. I want to create an image that's targeting a Citrix environment, so running on Xen. I want to target an image that works on Amazon, okay? And all of this is just point and click, and I just say I want to do Amazon, I want to do Microsoft, I want to do SUSE Cloud or an OpenStack Cloud, and I just say click, 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 hit a little button that says build, and it goes off and creates all these different images that I need all at the same time. Then the really cool part is then I can say deploy, and it's a one button click, deploy. And now my image is off running in Amazon, my image is running in my OpenStack private cloud, or my image is off running in Microsoft's environment. So I created this image, okay, same packages, same operating system, my same application, everything I need, and yet I can deploy it to all these different environments. Now, the cool step, this isn't just a one-time thing, right? I've seen tools where, yeah, I can do this. Okay, now a month later, I got to patch it. There's a security patch. What do I do? And the beauty of this tool is I just step back and say, oh, click, add in that patch, build, click, deploy. Okay, so it gives me that maintenance capabilities. Now, one other tool, so that gives us the ability to create these images to use in my cloud, and then another tool, there's that slide, and then another tool that I want to just quickly mention is SUSE Manager, because once I've deployed those images, how do I maintain those, right? We've seen businesses get up to tens of thousands of these images running. They call it, we used to call it VM sprawl. How do I keep track of those? How do I know which ones are patched? How do I know which ones are updated? Well, you need tools to do that, and one of those is SUSE Manager, okay? And so the beauty about this tool is it's not just specific to SUSE, but also will give you the information you need for the other compute nodes that you have in your environment. All right, so I just wanted to briefly touch on those just to give you an idea of how much work and effort that goes on outside of the project, right? So when Grizzly's released and when Havana's released, that's just the beginning. It's not the end. And it just becomes this ripple effect of all these different companies. And again, as we find things, as we find issues, we patch back into the open source project. And as we discover things that our customers report them, those become the new features that we work on for the next 6 months or next year, right? So it completes that whole ecosystem and cycle. So with that, I'd just like to end and say thank you for your time. I appreciate being here. I've enjoyed chatting with you. Hopefully you got something productive out of it. And I invite you to take a look at the OpenStack project. And one other thing you could do, if you're interested in seeing SUSE Cloud and how it's put together, you can go freely download it. There's the URL to that. And if you have any questions or comments, after, catch me after. I'll be hanging around, or feel free to send me an email. And with that, thank you. Okay, I was told we have 5 minutes and we can do questions. So go ahead. I'll give you this one.
Thank you. When using SUSE Studio, you said the workflow where there is a new patch and have to rebuild everything. Since it's going to rebuild the whole image, do you know how long does it take?
Okay, to rebuild an image, what it's doing is rebuilding. It's not rebuilding the individual packages. Okay, that's a different step, and there's another tool to do that called the Open Build Service. But to rebuild that image takes about 10 to 20 minutes, depending on the size. Most of it's size. I can rebuild, just to give you an example, if I want to build a desktop image, let's say I'm building an image for my laptop that's got GNOME on it and KDE, I can do that in about 10 minutes. If you get databases and others, I've seen servers take up to 20 minutes. Okay. Very good question. Another question? Oh, okay. Oh.
Alguém pode traduzir depois para ele ali? Quando tu estava passando ali, passou. Hello? Alô? Ok? Ok? Está escutando? Can you hear me? Ok. Na tua apresentação, tu voaste ali no slide das compatibilidades do SUSE. Isso é porque não é um valor da SUSE gerar compatibilidade com Oracle e outros sistemas operacionais, ou foi um... ou não estava na tua apresentação chamar a atenção para como é essa compatibilidade com sistemas já implantados em mercado e que as empresas tem e precisam ter compatibilidade para funcionar o sistema.
So compatibility with other operating systems. So other Linux operating systems in particular. And so there's two levels here. Compatibility with other Linux operating systems and then compatibility within OpenStack itself. So let me address both those questions. So first off, with compatibility with Linux. SUSE is one of the leading vendors that are participating in what's called LSB, the Linux Standard Base Certification. So SUSE is certified, as well as Red Hat and a few other operating systems. So we are compatible, and we're pushing very hard to make sure that standard keeps updated with the latest releases. So one of the ways you can make sure you're, and we've got tons of documentation about this in our developer section about how to ensure your application is going to work across the different Linux distributions. But a key to that is using those interfaces that are part of LSB, part of the Linux standard base. Okay, so that's the first level. Now, another interesting discussion is in OpenStack itself, right? One of the strengths of OpenStack is those 190 members. And we're having lots of discussion to make sure that we have compatibility within those 190 members. Okay, so if I deploy on SUSE Cloud and want to be able to migrate to Rackspace or somebody else's OpenStack Cloud, I want to know that it's going to work. So this is a topic that, so there's two things that are happening, right? One is we recognize that because of the amount of change, we've got to do a very good job on our interfaces into those different components that I mentioned, right? The compute, network, storage, and so forth. So the technical committee is working very hard to make sure those interfaces are stable, yet have the ability to grow with future releases of OpenStack. The second part that we're working on, and in particular the board of directors is working on, is to create a program to enable the vendors to certify that they're compliant, right? So we're creating a compliance program, and we're tying it to the OpenStack label. So our goal is that the user has a good experience. It's as simple as that. Have a good experience. And to do that, we're creating a compliance program somewhat akin to LSB. But we're still defining that. So all the members have the goal that we want to make sure we're compatible. We're trying to develop to make sure that we do that. So Linux is long down the road on how to do this. We're trying to look at their lessons and mimic that within OpenStack. Very good question. Thank you. Any other questions, or are we out of time? No? Nope. One more? One quicker?
The license is Apache.
Okay, what's the guarantee? Okay, so if I understood the question correctly, OpenStack is governed by the Apache license. Okay, so what's the guarantee that we have that the contributions are free? Okay, so the answer is, oh, that is such a good question. Thank you. So there's multiple aspects to this question, by the way. So the first part is just making sure that somebody hasn't misappropriated code to contribute. Part of that is accomplished through a contributor's license agreement. So before you can contribute code, the developer has to agree to what we call our CLA, okay, which says you're contributing this code, and we have the rights to use it within the open source project under the Apache terms. Okay, so when you contribute code, you're agreeing to these terms. Okay, there's a whole term sheet there. The second part of this actually has to do with intellectual property. And we don't have time to go into the details here, but this is, again, will be something that the board of directors is actually working on today. And the program will most likely, we're discussing the different options at the board right now. If you listen to our last board meeting, let me back up a little bit. As I mentioned, OpenStack, in the OpenStack project, we actually have lawyers that are participating. And those lawyers have a committee called the Legal Affairs Committee. And one of the things they went off and have been working on is a cross-licensing model. Okay, so as code gets contributed, patents, intellectual property gets contributed. Okay, how do we share that amongst the different members of the community? How's the best way to do that? And so we're talking about different methods to do that, and they came back with three proposals. We've just added a fourth. But if I were to pull off my genie hat and tell you where we're heading, it'll be very similar to what Linux does today with the Open Inventions Network. Okay, so a very good question. All right, I believe we are, there's the sign. We are out of time. So again, thank you. I'll be out back if we want to ask more questions and have more conversation. Thanks.